Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I am Nikki T.
My name's Kurt Ozon.
And we have our special guest, Mr. John Morgan.
What's up, man?
Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. You were been on the pod with Matt before.
Yeah.
And so now you're in the same studio, but just with me and Kurt. So Kurt's better at guitar than Matt.
That's true.
Good. We have a big rabbit trail we can go down if we need to.
I've already been planning it. Yeah, no doubt.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like we call ours like Tales from the Front Row.
Yeah.
And the idea is like I'm the guy that was standing in the front row watching you guys play.
Yeah.
And then Kurt is the other side of the front row, you know, on stage with, you know, like your band guys are.
Both the perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So, man, like Matt had you on, but your world has been drastically changed since then.
Congrats, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah,
so you've been a prolific songwriter and had multiple hits with that. But now
Smashers.
But now you have freaking your own radio number one.
Right.
It's Why don't we just wild. Start there, get that out of the way, and then we can get into the BS after that.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I don't know, man. I'm just honestly, truthfully happy to be in the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you grind for so long just to get in the game.
Yeah.
And then now it starts, right? You know, it's like now the touring gets heavier and everything, right? It just levels up. So I'm trying to level up with it, you know, on all ends, just trying to really buckle down. I know that this year is like our grind year, so I'm trying to anticipate it as much as I can. But it's been a lot of fun so far, man. We've gotten to play some cool shows. We just got back from. Have you played the Million Dollar Cowboy out in Wyoming?
Mm-mm.
Did
maybe. I think so. Is there like a venue and then out back is like a big field and there's like buffalo running around?
I mean, yeah.
That's probably every club in Wyoming.
I was going to say, No, we just, it was just a fun little club, man.
Yeah.
It was our first sold out show, which was cool,
awesome.
Man.
How many people were around?
I don't know, man. Chase, what do you think? Probably 800 cap or was it less maybe? About 800.
That's incredible, bro. Congrats.
Thank you, man. It was just cool. You know, it was one of those bucket list things where you're like, all right, we're doing something right, you know?
I mean, you've been doing stuff right, man. I mean.
Yeah. Road's different, though, man.
For everyone. It really is.
Yeah. I love writing songs. It's just two different worlds, you know? I think the other cool thing, you know, to me, it's like two separate categories. Like, I love songwriting. And I love, you know, being an artist, too, myself.
Yeah.
And getting a win. And songwriting was cool in its own regard, right? Mm-hmm. Now getting this win, you know, as an artist, I know how much time and effort an artist puts into it to push the single behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I appreciate it a little bit more, but in a different way, you know? So it's been cool, man.
That's cool.
Are y'all doing radio tour right now or?
Yeah, we've been on that radio tour really since last year. Last year and a half, we've been after it, and on the road, too. So, yeah, it's been busy. This is probably my busiest year ever, man, so far. So
I feel like the touring plus, like, the radio tour, the combo of the two is really just is what the grind is all about, you know? Because it's, like, 5 a.m. lobby call, then you fly and you play the show, and then you hop between doing these, like, radio visits or, you know, free shows or whatever, and then on the weekends it's like you have your tours with like Aldine or whoever you're out with or your headline tours. Then it's just kind of like you're playing 5 or 6 shows a week and you got to take care of your voice and you're not sleeping enough and you want to have a beer at the PD and then it's just like
or two.
Yeah
dude, I mean all those points are very valid. I mean even just, you know, I try to stay in my lane and do what I do on the road. I try to perform as best as I can every night. But dude, it's hard out there, you know, on a voice, man. Like you're going, we've been back and forth from East Coast to West Coast like twice or three times already this year, and it's just been, you know, the change in climate, all that stuff, you know, it'll catch up to you. I remember getting off the road last year and being like, we listened to our board mix back, and I was like, man, I was struggling there towards the end of the tour, you know, it's hard to do. That was a good test. For me, you know, really for the first real time, you know, dogging it in the sprinter, you know, and testing my voice and trying to figure out ways to take care of it. But yeah, there's a lot, man.
The one thing I think that fans don't realize is they assume it's like you're on stage rocking out and drinking beers and then it's like a party all the time. But it's like on these radio tours, it's like you're playing these acoustic shows. Even if you're only singing four or five songs, if it's like a lineup, but then you're talking to everyone. It's the talking that really is a strain, I feel like, a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, with the radio programmers, and also like you're more face-to-face with fans. Oh. And if you're doing a meet and greet and hang out at the merch booth. And
dude, we go out every show, man. We go out to the merch booth and try to hang and, you know, try to make some gas money to get us home, you know. Like, that's kind of where we're at. And I love it. It's honestly, it's a lot of fun. It can wear you out and catch up to you later on. But it's so much fun, man, getting to meet new people and just see people get fired up about, you know, our show. It's encouraging. It's been really cool.
And I feel like the merch booth is where you really take a fan and make them like a lifelong fan. Because you shake their hand or give them a hug and you chat with them a little bit. And they're like, this song meant this to me or blah, blah, blah. And then like, it's because once you're at a certain level, it's like you just can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of young bucks coming up that I can say that now. I can call the people young bucks now. Nah, I see some of these guys and it's like, man, should we go out? I'm like, man, it's a no-brainer for me right now. Until I absolutely can't fight my way out there, I'm going to go out there and try to sell some T-shirts and, you know, meet some people. Like you said, create that grassroots fan base because they're going to be there for you next time you come back through if you do that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's free for them to come say hi.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to buy merch, cheat code for merch sales too.
Right. Yeah, it's free for me too.
Yeah, and it's like my music's meaning something to people. So it like gasses you up even though you pay for it in your voice because you're talking to everyone.
Yeah.
Shaking hands, you're getting sick or whatever.
Yeah. That's all good. I take my vitamins.
There you go. Yeah, man.
No, it's a lot of fun, man. It's a cool kind of phase to be in.
Yeah. And honestly, for me, like from a fan side, those connections, like now I'm so spoiled. I get to sit down and hang out and talk to you and ask you questions and hear about your journey. But when I was back in Pittsburgh, just as a fan, you know, that meet and greet experience or that getting to shake a hand and talk about the song that meant something to me were moments that I still remember.
Sure.
You know, I still remember, you know, the first time that I got to meet Eric Church in a meet and greet and I couldn't talk, you know.
Oh, like, I
got to
hear this story.
Oh, we had a meet and greet and I had all the things in my head that I was going to say, which was like four words. And then I got up to him and I was like, I was like, music good, you know. I just lost it. And I've never done that since or before, but it was just, I lost myself in that moment. Just thinking about how much that music that he makes meant to me.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's still, I mean, people are spending their hard-earned dollars going to see shows, and it means a lot to them.
Ding,
when
ding, ding,
them.
Bro. Yeah. If that don't fire you up, nothing will, man.
Yeah.
Those people out there working every day, I mean, we all know how expensive, you know, tickets are these days, man.
Everything, bro.
Everything. Yeah. It's wild. I don't see how people do it, to be honest with you. For a full weekend at a festival, you got to take a damn loan out. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think it's cool to see, like, I don't know. Have y'all seen the Rejects doing that, like, backyard tour?
That was so right cool. by my house.
Really?
Yeah, I was why is there a tour bus in my neighborhood?
Yeah. I'm like, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know? Super cool. I'm like, what's the insurance was in my head. I'm like, what if someone gets hurt or something?
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. I'll let somebody take care of that. No, that'd be cool to have enough hits to do that, you know, at some point.
Well, it's cool hearing them talk about it and think about the press that they got because of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's talking about them right now because they're doing that.
Yeah.
And they weren't just, like, up there singing songs. They were, like, fucking sending it.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
It's cool.
Grassroots building fans. Before there was social media, that's what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You went out and you showed people how it feels to be at your concert.
Yeah.
And that's still the basis of it.
I agree, man.
There's so many times where I'll see an artist that I was like, they're good. And then I see it and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So many times, bro.
So many times. Yeah. You see it live and you're just, oh my gosh, this makes 100% sense now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whether it's a big artist that I was like, you know, or a small artist that I was like, maybe just found or had heard but didn't dig into.
Yeah.
Then you see it and you're like, okay.
I get it.
At the end of the day, the experience is live music.
I agree, man.
Music is made to be heard live. It's cool that we get great studio productions of songs.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's cool that we get to see a little bit into people's lives now. Like, I don't know shit about Eric Church because he was famous before you had to put yourself out on social media.
Right, yeah.
So he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Bastard.
But
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Lucky. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, now it's what do you give out of your life? Like, what are you willing to share?
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's cool. That's I'm thinking about, you know, your two perspectives you mentioned earlier too, like being on both sides of the stage. It's like, you know, to me, it's there's nothing more frustrating. You can probably attest to this. There's nothing more frustrating, but also more rewarding than when you like have this hole in your show, and you're like you try different things to like fit, whether it's a transition into a song. Like, dude, I've beat my head against the wall so many times, like, how do we get into this? What's the coolest way to do this? How do we make a, you know, something
unique,
cool right
special,
here?
Like,
yeah. And it's like, there's nothing more fun at the same time. It's very frustrating to me. I don't have it, but it's fun to try to get it and level it up. So you are giving them an experience that they are like, wow, I haven't seen this before. You know, like, that's fun to me. I love chasing that.
We, like, you know, with Luke, it's like we'll get the band in a room and we'll have like a week, and we just, that's how we build the show.
Mm.
And it's like, well, what can we do different? You know, last year we did this song and did this song. Well, how can we do it different for this tour or whatever? And sometimes, like, we're like, we just hit a brick wall and we're like, all right, I got to go take a piss or something. And then I do, I'm like, eureka, you know, like that moment comes, or something simple or something complicated.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to sort of bang your hand against the wall but you do it just so the show, live show's different and fresh and fun.
Yeah, yeah. And when it does work, you're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. And it's fun, too. There's this clip that's going around right now. It's like Metallica playing. And they used to play Battery, one of their songs, where they skip the bridge. But they've recently added the bridge in, and then the singer forgot. So they just like fucked up the bridge because of that reason.
Yeah.
And then like everyone online's like, this is so cool. Like, they're real people, you know? It's like, and I think of all the times, like, when shit goes wrong too, it creates a cool experience too. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you can take a fuck up and make it like a unique experience.
Yeah. For wherever you're at. Yeah. That's cool.
I mean, when I talk about shows with my friends, it's always the things that either mess up or that I didn't expect. Like, oh, they played this song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we haven't heard that song for 2 years, especially like church or something like that. That really changes sets often.
Yeah.
It's like, we caught an Eric Church show right at the edge of COVID where he performed by himself because most of his band was sick.
Yeah.
I'll never get that show again.
True.
You know? But I'll still have the memory of that I got it that one time.
Yeah.
You know, that's... In my head, like, that's what makes you chase shows, especially from the same artist.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cadillac 3 was the band that I would chase around, right?
Oh, yeah.
See as many times as I could. And every show was different.
Yep.
You know, even if they were the same set list, they were all different.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing that I think turns fans from being a fan to, like, going crazy for someone.
Sure.
And that live show is, for me, that's what did it. I'm sure there's other things for other fans, but, like, if you can make that live show, me forget all of the crazy shit that I have going on in my life that isn't probably even that crazy compared to other people's stuff.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like, if you can make me get out of that for a moment and then want to have that same experience again and again and again, that's why I'm going to go chase shows.
Yeah, dude.
You know?
Cool.
That's what it's all about. I mean, realistically, for the fans.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of shows recently by just buying a ticket, which is like, not to sound like an asshole or whatever, but it's like, sometimes in this industry, it's like, I don't have to buy as many tickets.
Right.
But like, I'm not friends with AC/DC. So like, I have to go. So I went and paid $250 for a ticket.
Yeah.
And just, it's like a whole eye-opening thing because they're playing the same venues that I've played.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, helps me like realize what actual people have to go through to like come to shows. So it really makes me want to do better at the live shows.
Yeah. When they finally do get to their seat, you want it to, it's game on. You know?
He's like babysitters and
buy
$16 beers. And
it's not a joke, man. It's I don't know how people do it, honestly. It's a lot of work to get to a show these days, especially, you know, arena shows and mm-hmm. amphitheaters, whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah.
But there's power to music, but there's even more power to live music.
Oh, yeah.
It that can heal your soul.
Yeah.
It can take you out of whatever. It can take you out of thinking about, can I pay my rent this month?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a whole nother story because all these folks are like going into debt over ticket prices. That's a whole nother thing.
Well, yeah. But the reason they do it is because the music means that much to them.
Yeah, I know.
That's, it's that valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's nuts.
It but is.
It's radio, fun, radio's still important too. Like the live show's big, but country music radio is still incredibly important.
Yeah.
I think people sometimes say, radio's dying. And they say, you know, radio, it doesn't mean as much as it used to. You're catching a completely different fan base than the people that are going to live shows. You're catching that dad who's driving his daughter to soccer practice and can't go to those live shows anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you're catching the guy who is just kind of likes music and is just going down, and maybe you catch him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what is this? You know?
Right.
Something that makes the casual
channel
fan,
surfing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that makes the casual fan turn their head.
Yeah.
Or makes a casual fan say, who is this? Oh, crap. I got to go see him.
Yeah.
You know?
See, that was a whole nother world to me when we went into the studio. I'm like, okay, this is a whole different world. Like, you know, I came up through more of that production side of things of like, you know, because when I moved here, I started doing tracks immediately. Yeah. I was like, I know this will get my foot in the door with better riders, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I still, if I got time, I'll go chill. I got a little setup in my garage now, and I'll just go, you know, mess with tracks. And especially if it's something, I'm trying to focus it more on if it's something I want now mm-hmm. and just really take my time on building a good bed. For that, but anyway, it's just fun for me. It's fun to create, but I think playing some of these bigger stages, you know, you start, whether it's subconsciously or whatever, I couldn't help but think of how's this going to go over live when we're in the studio? How's this song going to go over live? Mm-hmm. Where are we going to put this? Will this fit anywhere in our set? Like, do we have something already like this that is, you know, like those are the kind of things that I think of now that I didn't really have, you know, a couple of years ago when I moved here. And you obviously, like, covers is different for me. Like, I can think of covers, you know, all day to throw on the set, but like originals and what are you going to put out next? You know, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun to kind of strategize on that too. And I think, you know, for this new album we just put out, man, I just tried to pick my favorite songs.
Yeah.
What are my top favorite songs I feel like are the best lyrically, the strongest melodically? You know, what are those songs? And then we just, you know, tried to do our best on the production side too, of just, like I said, creating a clean bed and then, you know, getting overdubs however we wanted them and then, you know, printing it, sending it off. So it's a lot of fun, man.
Can we talk about a little bit about the personnel you use? Because I see a lot of, I was going through the credits, I'm like, there's a lot of homies on here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, so Brent Anderson and I co-produced this album, and
love Brent, by the way.
Yeah, dude, we've been writing for a long time since I moved to town. He took a chance on me early, even on Friends. That was pretty early. We wrote that quite a while ago. So you know, just having that connection, you know, the label was asking me who I wanted to produce, you know, this project, and we're like in that process of figuring it out. And you know, I'm looking at all the options, and you know, I'm such a fan of so many producers in town that I'm like, dude, I don't even know like where to start. And so I'm like looking at prices, and that definitely had an effect too of like, okay, well, you know, you're going to pay this much and this, you know what you're going to get, you know what you're going to get. Is it going to be you? I don't know. Maybe, no, it depends on how much hands you have in it, you know, early on. And so I was just kind of going through all that. I'm like, man, like, I know enough in the production world to be dangerous and, like, track. I'm not a mixing engineer. Like, I can get a good demo mix down. I'm not a mixing engineer, but I've become very anal on the editing side of things, so I feel very confident in that. Like, if I need to lay down master vocals, I feel confident enough to do that at my spot. You know what I mean?
Like, at your garage?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we tracked these at Brent's studio, but, you know, it's similar. He's got a little better setup than I do. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, I've done it. I did on our previous EP, I tracked a lot of the vocals in my bedroom, I think, or in the studio at the time. But, yeah, it's just fun, too, man. I enjoy that. I'm confident in the editing side of things, and then I just ship it off, you know, let Bron do his thing and make it sound good. And, you know, we tracked, we did overdubs. So we just laid a bed down for each song, me and Brent did in his spot. And then we went into Farmland Studios. Caleb Fisher's a buddy of mine, and we overdubbed drums, threw some Mike Johnson steel on there. Yeah, and
Rich
some
on
bass.
On the drum kit.
Actually, so Friends is Kurt Allison and Tully Kennedy produced Friends.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was Brent and I. And so those guys played on that one. And then I brought in my guys to kind of finish the record out. And,
the live band?
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, man. They're, you know, they're homies. I've known my drummer and bass player since, like, middle school, high school. So good dudes, hard workers. And, you know, I'm like, if you're going to get your feet wet, now's as good a time as any, you know. Amen. So we're trying to establish, you know, what that looks like on the recording, just simplify it, streamline it. Next time we know what not to do, you know what I mean? So we're just kind of in that phase too, but great players, man. Like, I wouldn't ask somebody to come in and sit in if I didn't think they could do the job.
Right.
So anyway, it was just a lot of fun, man.
Yeah. You don't want to like throw your homies a bone if it's going to affect your art.
Right.
But if it's not, then that's a win-win, you know? Have mm-hmm. the guys on the record, and then when rehearsals come around, they're not having to learn someone else's parts. It's like, I played this on the record.
Yeah.
And I had the live show in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm excited about for this next one, too. It's like you have even more info mm-hmm. on that front end where you're like, okay, let's think about this for a minute.
That's sick.
So, yeah, it's been a ton of fun, man. And, you know, it has definitely helped us, like you said. If you're the one playing the parts, that helps you in your live show tremendously.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool. The easiest way to make it sound like the record.
Yeah.
Have them play on the record.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that was the other thing, too, was like, you know, I wanted to be slightly different. Like, Ilya's going to play something a million times better than or cooler than I'm going to play, probably 9 times out of 10.
Definitely.
But he's not going to play something that I play, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to play something that he would play. So mm-hmm. it's just, you know, regardless of whether it's right or not, that was my mentality going into this. I'm like, I just wanted to set itself apart slightly.
Yeah.
You know, keep it in that lane, but also, like, you know, make somebody be like, I want to go check out who's on this. You know,
okay.
It doesn't sound like, you know, somebody I've heard, but I don't know.
How would you describe, like, your sound in a very vague way, I guess?
It's kind of tough, man. I mean, I grew up playing bluegrass, so I feel like I have a little bit of bluegrass edge that you just, you know, you can't beat that out
of
me. But, you know, also, my dad was a big fan of 70s era of music, so got a lot of that. And I fell in love with, like, 80s hair metal.
I was waiting to say something like that.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
Rock, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Like, all the old Bryan Adams stuff. You know, just a huge fan. Three Doors Down, I'm a huge fan of those guys. Mm-hmm. So, kind of had a couple of those different edges. But, you know, I just like good music. You know, I'm a huge John Mayer fan, too. I could sit down and play along with any song of his. You know, I feel like that was just my thing, you know, coming up was playing guitar and singing, and then I fell in love with writing. So anyway, that's probably, you know, bluegrass, little rock edge. It's just blue collar, man. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
That's something else you can't get out of me either. It's,
yeah, we saw your truck pull up. So
yeah, right, yeah. Saw me sweating, no AC. Yeah.
I saw that truck. I'm like, man, that's on brand right there.
Yeah, yeah. I know, man. You should have seen me valet it at the hotel earlier today. We had to stop in there, and yeah, this chick comes out. She's like, cool. Like, yep.
Big and long and
yeah,
boxy.
It's like
F-350 awesome.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a so big great. Truck. Yeah,
yeah. Well, let's talk about the record. So it was your debut full-length record, right?
Yeah.
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 So, what was the official release date on that? Was like, or what month, I guess? Fuck.
June.
Yeah.
I don't have my phone on me. Mid-June somewhere.
Yeah.
Possibly.
June 15, I think.
April 25th.
Oh, no, yeah. You're talking about the radio. I should know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, just, I mean, not track by track, but just, like, as you're talking vibes and, you know, who were some of the co-writers that you, you know, caught some gold with and stuff like that?
Man, I had a lot of fun writing this record. It's truthfully, like, you know, the first couple years of me being in Nashville, I was strictly, like, pretty much a writer, you know. Aldine brought me out on a tour in 21, I believe, just acoustically, you know, 15 minutes up front, which was very daunting. With just me and a drummer on an SPDX pad. I was like, cool, here we're in an amphitheater with us, so let's do it. You know?
Yeah. It's like 14,000 people or whatever.
Yeah, no pressure. Yeah. But no, it was a lot of fun, but I was really focused on writing, you know, and that, like, for the first 2 or 3 years, that's what I did. I wrote for everybody. I was like pitch first, you know, always, still kind of am. But you know, it's like that had an effect on me in the sense of, like, if I did write something that I was like, this would be something I would say as an artist, I just kind of stuck it in my back pocket, you know, over that 3-4 year time span. You know, got a handful of songs that I feel really good about. And so that made kind of the selection process easy.
Yeah.
Once I got everybody else on board, it was like, yeah, we feel like these are the best songs. And there was a few we swapped out. But, you know, it was cool because, you know, I took the pressure off kind of in that sense of, like, I would cut all these and I wouldn't care which one's a single. You know what I mean? Like, take your pick. But, you know, it was also, you know, one of those things where, like, a lot of them are with writers that I am just friends with in general, too. You have that connection. Like, it's not, you know, the majority of them were Lydia Vaughn. She's one of my favorite writers in town. Will Bundy is another great friend of mine who we've been writing since the beginning. A lot of different guys. Mike Delaney, who was, you know, one of the first hit songwriters I wrote with, who really kind of took me under his wing and was cool to me. So it was cool to have, you know, stuff like that on your first, you know, full length. And
yeah.
I think it's hopefully a testament to those writers too, that I don't forget songs. You know, if there's songs on there that are 4 or 5 years old. And then there's songs, you know, that I wrote at the end of last year with Tyler Hubbard. It was the first time I had to, you know, get to write with him. And we wrote Kid Myself. Yeah. And so, it was a lot of fun, man. It's hard, you know, when you see the artist thing down the road, you're like, oh man, we got to put songs out. We got to put music out. We got to, you know, like, in the back of my mind, that's what I'm thinking. But then being on the backside of it and looking back, I'm like, man, I'm glad I had that time because it really helped me select what I wanted to say, you know, right out the gate, you know?
Yeah. You only get like one first impression
a
lot of times. Yeah. So having all your ducks in a row when you come out of that gate is great.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't intentional, but I did have enough time to do that, and I'm thankful for it now. But, yeah, it's fun to get new stuff out too, man, just in general. And just give people a different taste of who you are and, you know, what you've been working on.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of different skill sets in this industry, so it's cool. I think that is going to help you in the really long term, I think, which is great too, because you're – writing and cutting your own stuff, you know, it's like, and you could even like produce it, which is sick.
It's a lot of fun, man. It's like I said, I'm in the sweet zone right now where it's like the full circle of getting to, you know, have a baby idea pop in your head, write it down, get in a room, bring it to life, right? Give it a story, whatever. And then you get in the studio and you give it a sound and you bring it to life in there. And then, you know, release it, let the fans live with it, and then you get to sing it out live too and hear them sing it back. So it's like it's a cool spot to be in right now, so, man. I hope it stays that way.
Yeah.
Sure it will.
Yeah.
The musical circle of life.
Yeah, right.
No, as an artist, it has to be like, that's the dream, right?
Yeah.
Like to be able to touch every part of it that you want to.
Yeah, dude. Very thankful, man.
What are some parts that you kind of like, have a hire on to help you with, or what's the word I'm looking for? Give me your business talk. I can't think right now.
In the like
co-contributors.
No,
outsourced.
Yeah, outsourced. Yeah,
like as far as demo work and stuff, or
yeah,
what do you
or
mean?
Just like the whole music thing.
I mean, I have some guys on the production side of things that I go to a lot. Patrick Thrasher mixes a lot of demos for me.
What a cool last name! I saw him as a producer and then Nate as a writer. I'm like, yeah. I wish my last name was Thrasher.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool name. No, he's great, man. Does a lot of work, you know, for me last minute. So he's cool. I got a buddy back home, Luis Diaz, who does a lot of mixes for me too. And yeah, I don't know, man. We tried to, I kind of deferred to Brent on who he wanted to do like all the editing, drum editing and stuff like that. We kind of took that load. We let that load sit on someone else's shoulders for the record, because I was like, bro, we ain't got time to be editing all the drums. You know, we clean it up, you know, as we should, a basic cleanup. But it was nice to have guys like that where they can just send you, you know, a mix back and just kind of approve that end of it. But
do you edit your vocals?
Yeah.
Like in comp everything?
Yeah, I do.
That's got to be kind of hard, I feel like.
It is, man. Especially hard when you have Brent Anderson sitting beside you, who could hit everything that I could hit and more in a better pocket, you know. It's like, cool. That's one thing I love about Brent, man. He challenges me. He's like, nah, you got another one, you got a better one, you know. And I'm like, that's what I need in the studio, because I'll get frustrated, you know. But it's fun to sit there and just rip a guitar solo out and you're like, give me another one, you know. And then if I don't hit it, I'm like, here, you just do it.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Yeah.
It's nice to fall back on.
Yeah, it just keeps it honestly, it keeps it casual, man. It's like there was very few walls that we hit in that process of like, dude, we gotta get this finished. Like, it was just once we figured out our system and how we wanted to approach every song, we just kept that bass. Love that. And we just kind of rolled them out. So I think that helped with, you know, using kind of different sounds and cutting different songs. I feel like that was part of the glue of the album, and like keeping it all, you know, somewhat sonically in the same world, right? And you know, obviously Jeff Braun is a huge hand in that too, and just keeping it seamless. And he's one of those guys, he'll send you a first mix back and you're like, I don't even know how to edit, like I don't even have know how to make
notes. I'm good
notes.
If you are, yeah.
Yeah, just send it off, bro. Like,
that's great.
It's cool working with guys like those, like him and Brent, you know, just being super anal about all that stuff. And, you know, again, I'm that way too. So it's kind of me and Brent had to, you know, stop ourselves a few times. We're like, all right, bro, we're getting down a rabbit trail. We got to zoom out.
Yeah.
<you know?
laughs> Yeah. It's
take five.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone that probably doesn't know that side of it as much, it might not be as hard to like zone out and kind of let it flow.
Yeah.
But you know all the details, which is cool though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, more than most people, at least.
No, I really do enjoy it, man. It's a lot of fun.
It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, let's talk about, you had that mention of Tyler Hubbard's song, a radio single.
Yeah.
We mentioned on two separate things.
Yeah.
So why don't we dip into that a little bit, talk about the next radio single.
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's probably the newest song on the record.
Yeah.
And it was just one that I'd never written with Tyler. Had never met him. I was like, I really hope he's cool. You know, you always are like, man, I hope this guy's cool. Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck in a room with him for 4 hours or more. So I was kind of nervous the night before. I was like, man, I got to bring something good, you know. And so I'm like going through all my voice notes, trying to find a riff or anything. I just thrown down and I came across a guitar riff, and then I started going through my titles in my notebook, and there was Kid Myself. I just written it down, and I was like, man, surely somebody's written that, right? Like, you know,
yeah,
I don't want to kid myself, like whatever. And I looked it up, didn't find anything on it, and I'm like, okay. So I essentially just like combined that riff and that title and wrote a scratch chorus and just tried to set the hook up as best as I could, you know, so he could get the point of it. And so the next morning I show up, he's as cool as can be, you know, like super chill, laid back. We start throwing out ideas. I could tell he wanted to see what I had too, so I was like, oh man. I was like, I hope he likes one of these. I had like two, and I threw the first one out. He's like, man, that's cool. So we chased it for like an hour and a half, right? We like got a verse, I think maybe a full verse down. And Jordan Schmidt was also, he was the another writer in the room. And we were just like, man, we hit a wall. And I was like, of course this is going to happen to me on my first write with him. But I was like, guys, I don't want to jump ship and throw a wrench and everything. I was like, but I got another idea. And, if you guys dig it, we can chase it and see if it's any easier. And it was Kid Myself, and they liked it. And we just kind of fell out in the room after that. Tyler was, really cool about, like, getting into the story, because it was kind of something that I hadn't done before, and he kind of made it more personable, and, like, tried to pull a story from, have you ever experienced this kind of thing? And so it became a lot more personal than I thought it would, but he was really good about doing it in a cool way, you know? So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think June, is it June 6th, I believe, ad date?
I think 16th. It's like, yeah.
16th. I should know.
It's a lot of dates.
Yeah, a lot of dates, man. Math has never been my thing.
Yeah, June 16th.
16th.
Yep.
I'm stoked, man. I really hope. I think this one might be a little harder on the front end to mm-hmm. get rolling, but I hope that it'll stick around a little bit longer. It's funny, like, my thought process too is like, what do you follow friends up with? You kind of did that. Like, do you do the same thing or do you change it up? And I don't know. I feel like at the end of the day, just go with the strongest songs and hope that, people see that too. But we'll see. We'll see. It's always a risk.
How has, like, since your song went number one, have you seen it either since it went to radio or, just like the impact that it has on the audience? Did that, like, change for you?
Yeah, I definitely saw growth after, after radio. And, it's like you said, man, you're just reaching a fan base that you wouldn't normally reach or, get plugged into if you weren't there.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I feel like, especially in country, man, I think it's country fans. They're just very engaged with local stuff. And, like, you can really, what we were talking about earlier, you can really make some lifelong fans by doing some of these radio shows. And they're going to show up to anything that if you're close to them in any possible way, they're going to show up to your show, you know? So it's really cool in that regard. But, I definitely saw growth on Friends.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the first time I played for an artist on the radio. When I was playing for Jana Kramer back in the day.
Yeah.
And she had a song, it's like, I got the boy. Like, oh, she got like, she I got the man.
Well.
You know that song?
Oh, I know it well.
And and we were doing radio tour, and we kept doing it. And then each time we played a show, that song was like, the crowd would react more and more.
Yeah.
And then I remember, like, one time, like, the down chorus after the bridge, where she let the crowds sing it for the first time, and they're like, I got the first kiss. And everyone started singing, and I was like, wow, so all this radio tour and all these extra shows and all this, like, social media and stuff, this stuff helps.
Yeah.
You know?
All the birthday bashes.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. The eight man
jam.
Eight-man jam,
whatever. And they were loving it. It's a great song. It deserved to be sung along.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
And it's cool to witness it happen.
Right. It is, man. Very cool. Kind of same, man. It was, I remember the first time I dipped out, I was so nervous. I was like, dude, I can't, in your show, right? You dip out and nobody sings it back. That's embarrassing.
Sing it.
Yeah. And
it's like
just
dead
crickets.
Quiet. Yeah.
And I was just terrified of that for so long. And I waited. I was like, all right, surely somebody's going to sing it. And I remember dipping out and hearing, like, a lot of people sing it back for the first time. I'm like, man, that's cool.
Fills the heart.
Yeah.
I've never like thought about doing that for the first time. That's such a weird concept.
Oh, man.
Because Luke does it all the time, and it's like easy. Yeah. He's like, all right, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then, but I'm doing it for the first time ever, and then from now on, you can do it whenever you want,
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool.
It's like a little leap of faith there.
Yeah. Well, I tiptoed in, that's for sure. Yeah. I was like, I got to make sure at least somebody's going to sing it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had Chase out in the crowd just like, you say it.
Yeah, I tried paying him. I was like, hey, man, get the wave started or something.
Put a Rage Rowdy hat on and get out in that crowd.
There you go.
No, if anybody can get the people fired up, it's this man. Right?
But, man, it's funny, too, because, like, I've gotten to meet you, but Matt, you know, he feels like homies with you.
Yeah.
Since like the early days. Oh, so
it has been a while.
It's cool to hear stories, you know, from when you got to town and got to meet your lady, I think one night at Red Door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about vintage clothes.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, to get to kind of sit down with you a little bit more and hear more of the story, which I've, you know, of course heard listening to Matt's, but
yeah. his is probably a lot quicker than mine.
Yeah. Yeah. His, you know, the fun details and the
yeah,
silly
right.
stuff. You know? Which is, you know, those are the stories we don't talk about on the pod all the time. But
no, sir. We don't. Yeah.
So, besides touring and radio and all this, what are you doing to kind of keep sane amongst all this chaos?
Good question, man. Not much, to be honest with you. I got kids now. So, when I'm home, I try to be home and, mm-hmm. and just hang with them and, it's so much fun, man. I love being a dad. You know, it's a lot more drive in a different way now. You know, you got something really, I don't know, more fulfilling, I guess, to work towards. And so I don't know, it's been a lot of fun to have that at home. But hard at the same time, for sure. Gone a lot. So, you know, it's like, that's why I try to make my days at home count. And hopes that, you know, it'll chill out at some point and get to slow down a hair, and enjoy it all together. But yeah, man, that's literally all I do. I was thinking of that the other day. I'm like, I don't even know what hobbies are, dude. I don't even remember what did I used to do? Play pickup ball every once in a while. You know, I like being in the woods. You know, I haven't got to do as much of that as I would like to this year. It was really tough. I miss turkey season and I went whitetail hunting, but you know, didn't luck out this year. But you know, just, you know, you got to really carve time out for that stuff now. Yeah. So there's not as many hobbies, but I'm trying to like figure out which ones I want to keep, you know.
Well, your first hobby is your job now.
Yeah. Dude.
Oh, well, and then the family. Is there anything that you think becoming a dad has helped you in your music career?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's definitely made me a little more mindful about what, you know, what message do I want to send? You know, what am I putting out into the world? You know, is it bettering the world? Is it not? You know, cause I feel like if you have a platform, kind of owe it to yourself to at least consider that, you know? Yeah. And, I don't know. That's definitely been, you know, a more recent thing. Cause you're so this part of the industry can make you absolutely consumed with yourself if you let it, you know, you got people blowing smoke up your ass all the time. Telling
like
you
Nick
how
and
good
I.
you are. No, you know what I mean? It's just like, and I appreciate it. I really do. But if, you know, and I've been guilty of it too. You let it get to your head and you stop like, proactively trying to, you know, stay humble and really, you know, utilize that and make that a part of your life too. It can catch up and really make you somebody you didn't think you would ever be, you know, I feel like, but, I don't know, man, it's tough. It's definitely tough, but, yeah, I don't know, man. I think as far as just staying sane, I love music so much that like doing a demo is that keeps me sane. And it's the same exact thing, but I just love it that much. I don't know what else to do.
Dude, I just like yesterday I took a harmonica lesson just for fun.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, I kind of want to try this, see what it's like.
You're stretching a little bit more than me with a harmonica lesson.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, I don't have any kids, so yeah.
Dude, how was it though? Did you learn anything?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, it's great. This dude I'm studying with is like, he could play anything. And I pulled up this John Popper recording. I go, do I need a special harmonica to play this? And it was like this ripping solo. He goes, oh, dude, it's easy. And he was just like, listen, and just like started playing it. And I was just like.
It can be done.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, holy cow. Crazy.
That's cool, man. That's crazy. I love a good harmonica player.
My goal is to, I want to play like that Willie Nelson kind of stuff. Mm. I feel like that would be sick. Play that like on the road again.
A little pocket instrument.
Yeah. And then it's like when you load out, it's like I had a session that day. And so I had to carry my steel and my amp and my pedal board and the chair. And then when I left the harmonica lesson, I was just like, all right, I just put it in its little case and I just drove home and I was like playing in the car, you know?
Driving with your knees.
Super yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's funny, man.
Well, the other side of that kind of same question. So has anything from being a musician, do you think there's anything from that that's helped you be a good dad?
He sings better to the kids at night.
That is not true. No, I don't know, man. I feel like definitely in the sense of being more of a regimented person. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You have to be now. Yeah. You hit a level where it's like you either are or it's not going to happen probably. You know, you got to get your shit together a little bit and I don't know. I think it's been good for me in that regard to be more focused and seeing what I have now as a business and not a hobby anymore, right? Like, that's a hard transition where you're like, do we have the right players? Do we have, you know, do we have the right team? You know, having to analyze that kind of stuff sometimes is difficult, but I think just being aware of it, you know, stuff like that is hopefully something that, you know, if it does happen and we do tear up and get to that next level, you know, it's something that I can incorporate just, you know, in an everyday thing. Right. And make sure that, you know, I'm just staying on top of things that way. But even on the personal side of things too, I think writing is like a therapy sometimes, you know, it's like, I know that sounds kind of, you know, artsy, but it's like, it really is. I'm not a big feelings guy. I'm not like gonna just chat about my feelings with you. Even if we are close, sometimes it's hard to do, you know? And so I think when you get in a room, you don't think of it as much as that, but you have a goal in mind. Like, there's a reason you're getting them out, right? There's a reason you're trying to dig from something that maybe you went through or like you've seen done or whatever. So I think in that regard, it's helped me to, you know, I guess open up a little bit more, especially to my kids too, you know, like they're just learning how to talk and stuff now too. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of shift a little bit and you're more self-aware for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do they know you're a famous country singer or like,
nah, dude, they know I sing, like they know my songs. It's kind of cute and funny to hear them. My daughter was singing one of the songs off the album the other day. She calls it the tractor song. But it's called Without Them, but it's, I don't know, man, it's cool to see that, you know, but it's also very scary because I'm like, please don't get into the music industry, like, go into finance, go do anything, be a cowgirl. Yeah. I don't care. It's cool. I would definitely, if they ever did take interest in music, I would push them hard to be a songwriter, man. Cause you can make a good living doing that and have a normal life if you want it, you know, and go to ball games and stuff. I think being an artist is just either in you or it's not, man. Like, you spend enough time out on the road and grinding, like, you know, man, it's like you spend enough time out there and you really rubber meets the road at some point. And you're like, all right, I'm either wasting my time by putting all this time into this or
and
it's
money.
For something. Yeah. 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 Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If people only knew how much it costs to go on tour, man, even, crazy. Yeah, it's wild, but.
There's a reason those ticket prices are kind of expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still not even taking care of all of it.
I know, man.
Just a break even, ideally. Yeah. You know, it's like, do this club tour and lose money so that next year we could do it and break even, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we've had some guys out on the road, especially early on, man. I think of Riley Green, Hardy, some of these guys out on the road that brought us out, man, were so cool to us and paid us probably more than we were worth at the time to come out. And I was like, man, I remember that stuff. You know what I mean? That's the cool part about it on my end is like, getting to connect with some of these other camps. And, you know, we just try to do our thing and bring what we do to their show and hopefully get the fans fired up. And you know, we know our job, especially in the, you know, the support slot, whatever it may be. Like, we're out there to play our bangers and get you fired up for whoever's headlining, you know. And mm-hmm. I think we've gained some respect in that regard, because that's literally what we want to do. Like, we know our show's not that, but we know what it is. We know what we're good at too. And so we just try to come out there and put together a 25 or a 15. Man, we don't care what slot we got. We're gonna throw some heat. So it's just a lot of fun, man. And I've really enjoyed that aspect of it too. But I don't even remember your original question. Oh, man. No, I've been rambling.
You hit it.
Yeah. It's also like such a good learning experience too, because now that you're headlining shows and you're gonna have openers, and you're like, oh well, Hardy was cool to me in this way, and you know, Aldine was cool to me this way, so this is how I want to treat my openers, and I want to cultivate this sort of family on the road, or I want it to be more of this vibe or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's 100%, man. Mm-hmm. That's been the cool, another cool thing too out there is exactly that. How do I want to incorporate on a smaller scale right now what they're doing into our camp? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you can learn something from every camp. I promise you that.
Amen.
If you're out with them for a show or a weekend, it doesn't matter. You can see, what are they doing that makes them a little bit better than us? What are they doing that's put them on that next tier of, you know, being full time on a Prevost and like, you know, having a week to go in and work on your show, like those things, like that's where we want to get to that point, you know? And so what are they doing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun, man. It really is. I've got a good crew. All my guys, you know, we've been together for, you know, 5 or 6 years at this point, just really hustling. And we're a very blue collar operation, but we get the job done. That's for sure.
That's right. Man. Hell yeah.
That's how we like it. Uh-huh. Well, why don't you tell us about like where you are going to be for the rest of the year that you know about at least?
Yeah. kind of all over the place, man. We're I think we're going to be in some of the spots we haven't been to in a minute. Atlanta. I think we got some shows out in Colorado.
Are these all your headlining shows, or are you out with
somebody? A lot of these are in the fall. We're going to be out with Old Dominion. I can't remember when we're out with them. A couple months, I believe. Good beach festival.
Oh, cool.
And then we're going out with Kane Brown for a date or two, I believe.
Oh, that'll be sick.
Yeah.
His band's great.
I haven't seen his show yet, but I'm excited. I've heard a lot.
Oh, he's
of good
leveled
things.
It up a lot, good. Especially this year. Yeah.
That's cool, man. I'm excited. We'll be out with some of those guys. And then, I think September our headlining tour starts. And like you said, I'm going to have some buddies out. And
that's great.
We'll see. I think we're going to announce that very soon. So
that's cool. Get excited. To return some of those favors.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Let nice Brent come out.
Pass on down. That'd be great.
It's funny you say that.
Okay, I was just guessing.
Tremendous guess.
Yeah.
No, but whoops. It's that's how it works, man. It's you vouching for the people.
Yeah.
Paying it forward.
Yeah, paying it forward.
Yeah, that's man. It. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to work with people you like, too. You know, that goes a long way.
That's who you want to be with out there, man.
And you're living with them, too, on the road.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, man, thanks for coming through and
of course, man.
Chatting with us. And
yeah.
It's crazy. Like, me and Matt were talking about, like, since you've been on with him, like, how everything's gone. And
I know, man.
Fantastic, man.
I know. It was funny because I think the first time I had an interview with him a long time ago, mm-hmm. several years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it was before he was... I think it was before Raised Rowdy.
It was, yeah.
And, just, like, remembering that conversation, dude, I had literally nothing to talk about. I was just like, yep, what songs you been writing? You been writing for anybody lately? Not really.
I don't have shit going on.
Yeah. I got a hold, maybe, I think, on, you know, myself.
I can't tell you about it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny seeing the progression just in the last couple of years, man. It's cool. It's encouraging for sure.
It's so cool, man. Yeah. It's funny, too. Like, that's what we talk about with podcasts. We're like, that's a statement in time.
Yeah.
But it's so cool. Like, us hosting live events in town, I get to watch people get better.
Mm.
Like, watch them. Now we have a full band thing. I get to watch them go from playing acoustic rounds to, like, figuring out how to play full band to like, oh crap, they got it.
Yeah.
You know, and then yeah. keep developing. So it's like podcasts are like that too. If you go listen to a podcast that was from a few years ago and then you hear you now. And
yeah.
the different stories, the different headspace, all of that.
Yeah. It's much cool. different headspace. Yeah.
All growing up.
Right.
Yeah. Man.
Boys all grown up.
Got the
yeah.
babies now too.
Yeah, man. That's yeah, that's wild.
Well, congrats to everything, man. And
thanks,
appreciate
dude.
Appreciate you taking your time with us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for yeah. having me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, if you love this podcast, make sure you like it. Make sure you follow John on social media and around on tour, but maybe not too much on tour. Not stalker level or anything.
Yeah. As much as you'd like. Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row.